You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm talking to Skalk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape. Skalk, I think we have to talk about, first of all, the big one today. Around about 11 o'clock South African time, I think it was, Tencent. Tencent came out with numbers, and the reason Tencent is important is because Naspers is a significant minority shareholder in Tencent. What were the numbers like?
Yeah, I must admit, you know, originally when we looked at it, and when it came out, you know, I think that the immediate reaction were, you know, this is good. This is really, really good. We also saw the market reacted, you know, for that short period of time. It actually reacted, you know, pretty positive. Just to see it retrace and eventually, you know, in the day, you know, down, you know, negative, and you know, more negative than what the market actually done. So yes, that was an interesting one, you know, for me personally. And we had to look, you know, deeper. So firstly, you know, when we look at you know, the results, as you alluded earlier, you know, the results were a big one. We were waiting for that one. You know, on every account, you would say that they actually beat. I mean, you look at basic headline earnings per share up 71%. They actually increased their dividend. Look at the quarterly revenue. That is looking very solid, another 26%. So in general, then they delve deeper into the specific games for all the gamers out there. You know, the on-off kings is still one of the big ones. The upcoming one lately is the PUBG, you know, the PlayerUnknown Battleground mobile game. That one's so naturally, you would think that these companies would, these games would do well, because people have been sitting in lockdown, you know, mostly. But yeah, I think that the big one still remains this the regulatory environment for a company like, you know, like them. You know, we're still sitting with the China antitrust officials. You know, they are actually now clamping down. We've seen this a few weeks ago, or let's call it, you know, a month or so ago, you know, on Alibaba. And, yes, and now it's clamping down on Tencent and having a similar effect. So I think it was, yes, the results were good, but, you know, suddenly the result, you know, people were looking forward and say, well, what if, you know, the antitrust, actually the clampdown is becoming more intensified? And then there was little small
things. Just before you go on, why do you think that is? Do you think that the Chinese Communist Party, which runs the country, we know that. I mean, let's not beat about the bush here. China is a communist country, a socialist country. Do you think that they're jealous of these numbers? Do you think that they want a slice of it? Why are they clamping down on these companies? Because on the one hand, they have control over the people, and we know that through, you know, through things that we need not to speak about at the moment. But on the other hand, they embrace capitalism and collect taxes. So what's going on here?
Yeah, well, I think you started off this question by using the word communists.
Yes.
You know, I'm busy reading a fascinating book. It's Wild Swans. You know, it's unbelievable. And, you know, if you've really got enough time, I would really encourage you to go and read that book, because that is crazy. And now when I said it's a biggie, I really mean it's a thick book. But it explains,
I mean, in other words, lots of pages.
Yeah. It's really a page turner. But I must admit, so firstly, I want to start off by saying I haven't finished the book yet. It's just one of the thickest books I've ever read, or the biggest book I've ever read. But it gives you the background for, you know, how China looked, you know, prior to communism, you know, prior to the wars, let's call it the early 1900s, you know, how that changed, how the, you know, the World War, you know, the inflow of Japan. I'm not going to give you a history lesson, but,
no,
you know, when you look at the how everything started, you sort of get an idea of, you know, what the government, what the Chinese government are currently doing. They call it the oversight. They said that they've been clamping down, you know, and strengthening, you know, these call it other companies, but they sort of neglected or left the tech firms, or big tech firms, to go their own way, and not really, you know, as you mentioned earlier, if you follow a little bit of a capitalism, you know, a path. And you know, now it's just sort of, I don't know if it's it's just not a leash that just says, just always remember, you know, what China looked like. China still remains a communist, you know, country, which is under the let's call it the management of the government. I can't answer. I'm not you know strong enough in the political side of things. I do think that this is when you look at any investment in any Chinese company, it always remains one of your biggest risks.
Yes.
It always remains something that you as a investor sort of come second. That the Chinese government in a Chinese company will always be first. So back to Tencent. I think that's the big worry. And I think that then it comes down to little small things. They talk about the profit that rose 175% in the same period to, you know, just shy of, let's call it 60 billion yuan. And that was largely thanks to fair value gains in companies Tencent had invested in and sales and stocks. And then they mentioned, you know, other gains, you know, see other gains. And when you look at that other gains, you strip out that other gains, you know, the suddenly the gains didn't look that sharp. I mean, you're suddenly not looking at 175% growth and those type of things. So I think there's some caution. You know, just remember that a company like Tencent has done phenomenal over this past few years.
Yes.
You know, back to Naspers and Prosus. I do think, and I've mentioned this in a conversation, I'm not going to repeat the whole holding company structure again, you know, how process work, how NASPAS work, you know, how actually the whole structure or the price movement, you know, worked since they actually unbundled process out of NASPAS. How, you know, over that period of time, you know, the likes of a Tencent has grown, 118%, while, you know, Tencent has grown 118 or 120%, while Naspers and Prosus has only grown around about the 50% level. So there is a bit of, let's call it a margin of safety, that I do feel that is built up through the holding company discount. But again, just caution. I think it's really important to note that what we, you know what you are invested in. This is not your typical Western type of country company that you invested in that's governed by.
Okay, so let's cut through all that and say to ourselves, okay, we've seen Tencent's results. Do we like Prosus? Do we like Naspers? Do we like Tencent? Or do we like none of those three?
Oh no, I do like them. So it's when you look at these results, I mean they reiterated why a company like Tencent has done so well. So back to Prosus and Naspers, I do think and I do like them both because it does give you entry into these companies. And just to get back, you know, if we look at the current structure as it currently stands, so let's use Naspers with today's close. You know, Naspers is still trading at 52% discount to its net asset value. So that's massive. And when you look at something like Prosus over the same time, that's trading at a 37% discount to its net asset value. And just, you know, back on that, I'm back to that point. You know, the whole net asset value, Prosus's net asset value, is basically made up 84%. Of Tencent alone. So you should be liking Tencent. If you don't like Tencent by investing in Prosus or Naspers, you might be in for a choppy ride.
How was the JSE today? Because this morning it opened up over 1% weaker. It then rallied. Then it came down again to about 0.5% weaker, and it's closed more or less unchanged. Really, really volatile day. Lots of churning, a lot of jostling, a lot of posturing, Skulk.
It was sort of the inverse movement that we've seen on the US last night, Lindsay. So last night on the US market, I pretty much monitored the market for most of the trading day in the US, and it remained a little bit in the green, a little bit in the red, but it was pretty much unchanged for most of the day. And that last hour just went like boom, all the way down. Nasdaq, you know, ended the day down 1%. So I think we had a sort of an inverse day where we actually just followed suit, had that negativity in the beginning of the day, because this morning when you opened up the market, it was looking horrible. It was
red,
and we were we were looking at a pretty negative day, and most of that losses, the sort of the US market made up the last hour. We made back in our last trading hour, and yeah, US now trading positive, so that might be also be some of the reason why we're seeing a JSE that actually eventually ended up fairly close to being unchanged.
Let's have a look at that now. Let's have a look at these spot prices. We'll come to the JSE indices at the end of this conversation. But anyway, the dollar rand, 14.86. British pound against the rand, 20.38. Euro rand is 17.57. Euro dollar is 118.25. Look at that. The dollar, 0.9% stronger. Dollar on a charge in the last few weeks. The cable is 137.20. That's the British pound against the US dollar. The gold price is down $5 to $17.31 and a bit. The platinum price is unchanged at $11.82. Palladium, please. Skulk.
Now, palladium is also about 80 basis points stronger today. It's trading at $2,624.
West Texas crude has reversed dramatically today. It's now up a massive 4.8%. And
that's crazy.
It's unbelievable. $60.55. Brent crude oil is $63.63. All the 63s up 4.7%. What is going on there? It was down over the last few days by 4-5% each day, and now suddenly it's reversed again. Someone's having some fun with this oil price. Where's Bitcoin, please?
So Bitcoin is a similar movement as oil today. You're looking at a Bitcoin price of $56,200. That's up 3.2% for today.
3.2%. Okay. The U.S. 10-year bond yield is 1.644. That's the yield. The South African 10-year bond is 9.44, which is more or less unchanged on the day. And give us the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P live, please, Skulk.
So as we currently stand, the Dow is trading positive 90 basis points. The S&P 500, they are up 54 basis points. And the NASDAQ, they're down a little bit again. We're looking at a NASDAQ that is down 22 basis points. When we look at the dollar index, as you mentioned earlier, they're positive 16 basis points. So, yeah, I think an interesting day, very interesting day.
JSE, top five on my screen. Car Trek up 2.8%. Motors up 2.8%. Anglo American, the big one, up 2.3%. Lighthouse Capital, 1.8% higher. And Hammerson up 1.7%. On the downside, the JSE Limited is down 6%. That's quite a big move. Steinhoff down 4.9%. Harmony down 3.8%. And Anglo Gold Ashanti down 3.6%. Any other companies you saw today, Skulk?
No, I think it's just we chatted about Metair a week ago. After their results, we had a big movement in Metair today. That is up 5.1%.
Very nice.
I see there the platinum stocks had a wonderful day. Yeah, I think if we've had a, let's call it another hour, maybe 2 hours worth of trading, I think the gold counters would have been a different story, because the gold were down this morning, but now trading back, let's call it over, as you mentioned, over the 1730 level. So that is interesting. But platinum counters were looking good. Amplats, they're actually up 1.61%, and Impala Platinum up 1.33%. So those are the two ones that stands out. But in general, you would think it was a fairly quiet day looking at the unchanged movement, and let's get into that. The JSE All Share, the end of the day, 65,257 points. That is basically 9 basis points down. So you would think with a 9 basis points down day, it was a fairly, let's call it, slow or quiet day, but it wasn't the case. When we look at the value traded, over 23 billion, value traded on the market.
So that's not bad.
Not a slow day. Yeah, not a slow day in that regard. When we look at the underlying sectors, the JSE Resource Index, they actually closed up 94 basis points. Industrial Index, thanks to Prosus Naspers, they're actually down 78 basis points. And the Financial Index, they're actually up 14 basis points. So most of the losses, came from the industrial side. And I want to say predominantly, most of the losses came from Naspers Prosus. If we didn't add a Naspers Prosus in our index today, it would have been, I think, pretty solid day.
You love gold, don't you? You really love gold. I can sense it.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a gold guy. gold, not even a closet gold bull anymore, because everybody knows I like gold. But, you know, it's one of those very difficult things, because I won't bet the farm on gold, but you need it in your portfolio currently. I mean, you look at today's PMI figures again, PMI figures from the US, you know, point of view. If you look at, it's you know, I'm still worried, you know, from a US point of view, you know, this amount of money printing and those kind of things, it won't be without gold, you know, with the current economic environment. From the US side. Let's see.
And I won't be without you for at least another 14, 15 hours, because Scalp Glow will be with me for the opening tomorrow morning. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. Scalp Glow is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.